Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Lord willing, I'm hoping to start a series on in the near future that's appropriate to all of us, but in preparation for this, we need to understand some basic concepts. And tonight I'm going to talk on holiness. How can we be holy? And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, it's written, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." This is not just about talking. This is about lifestyle. We need to wear holiness. Holiness should be seen by others because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We need to understand this basic concept. Holiness is commanded by God, and I didn't advance it. So there's the verse. So, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And holiness is commanded by God. When the nation of Israel had been released from bondage in Egypt, and they're out in the wilderness and God has given them the laws, and he gives them the Ten Commandments, and he says here in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45, he says, "For I am the Lord your God." The first thing we need to understand about being holy is, who is our God? There's only one way to be holy, and that's to know him through his Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." These are imperative statements from God the Father, from Jehovah, and they apply to us. He needs to be our God. There is no other gods before him. "Ye shall therefore," first of all, "sanctify yourself." Holiness and sanctification go hand in hand. Sanctification means to be set apart for his use. God doesn't use a dirty vessel. He needs to use clean vessels. And so we need to be vessels unto honor. "Ye shall be holy." It is not optional. It's not what you think. God commands it. Why? Because he is holy. And we will not defile ourselves. To be holy means that you're not defiled. And so because he's done all these things for us, we shall be holy. He's given us everything necessary for life and godliness. And so holiness is commanded by God. It's expected. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. Okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. It is the will of God that we be holy. Holiness is to be worn. Holiness is to be worn. In Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 through 40, it says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe." Now, I put this up here. They, on the prayer shawls that they wear, there are tassels on the end or fringes on the end. It's spelled T-Z-I-T-Z-I-T. Zitzit. Okay? Practice all afternoon to pronounce that. Okay? But it is a fringe that ye may what? Look upon it and consider and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and not just remember them, but to do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. But look at verse 40. That ye may remember and do not what you think, not what is convenient, all my commandments and be holy unto your God. So holiness is commanded by God. Holiness is to be warned. They were to look different. Folks, there's nothing different today. We're supposed to look different and not touch the unclean thing. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be holy. Holiness is commanded by God. Holiness is to be worn. We put on the new man, which is renewed day by day. Holiness is blessed by God. In Psalm chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, it says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." You might fool your friends. You might fool your family. You might fool your coworkers. You can't fool God. As David said this morning, you reap what you sow. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You can't live your own way and expect God to bless it. We must live God's way. It is God that saves. It is God that delivers. It is God that directs. It's God that gives us all things that we need. Amen. Holiness is conferred by Christ. We can't be holy unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but is achieved by our lifestyle. Our lifestyle. Be holy in what? All manner of conversation. So I have 4 points tonight about holiness. And the first one is this. Holiness reflects that you're healed. This morning we talked about the woman that was bent over in two and how God loosed the bounds of the spirit of infirmity and then touched her and she stood up straight. And it changed her life forever. Holiness reflects being healed. It's conferred by Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And that woman went and did 3 things. She was renewed. She was redeemed. And she went rejoicing. And so we need to understand that holiness reflects being healed. And only Christ can do this. By his stripes, ye were healed. Holiness is continued in Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to keep a short ledger with sin in our life. He that have what? Clean hands and a pure heart. You can't have clean hands with sin on your hands. You can't have a clean heart when you're contemplating things like that. We got to work at this and confess this daily. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And as we learn in Sunday school, forgive one another, that ye may be what? Healed. There's a lot of hurting people out here today. There's a lot of people that need healing today. "Oh, I'm okay." Now, you're just like the ruler in the synagogue. We see God, we hear about him, we understand his truth, and it doesn't change us. "That ye may be the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And the converse of that is the prayer of an unrighteous man is worthless unless he's asking for forgiveness of his sin. So holiness reflects being healed. It's conferred by Christ and it's continued by Christ. Holiness reflects being obedient. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Holiness reflects being obedient, and it's required from the heart, just like forgiveness is. It is a heart issue. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 20, it says, do not ye let understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out of the draught, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Folks, holiness comes from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Be holy in all conversation. We don't do things unless our heart's in it. So holiness reflects being obedient as required from the heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Holiness is reflected on the outside. You know, you can take an old dead car and you can put wax on it, and it can look really good, but it's useless because it won't run. And in Matthew 23, Christ calls out the Pharisees. He says, you're whited sepulchers. You're full of dead man's bones. You need a change. And in verse 36 of Matthew 23, it says, thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. God doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. And you know that things are clean when they're inside out and they're clean. Now, when you wash clothes, you probably turn them inside out, right? So they get clean from inside. So it's required for the heart. It's reflected on the outside. In Ephesians 4, 24, it says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. There's a lot of fake holiness going around. There's people that call themselves holiness. They're not holy. And just because you give yourself a name doesn't mean anything. It means how you act and what you do. Holiness reflects being obedient. It's required from the heart. And it's reflected on the outside. What do people see of you? Do they see just a normal person, just like the rest of the world? Or do they see someone who's been bought with a price? Holiness reflects being obedient. Holy reflects learning and living. We need to learn of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And ye being rooted and grounded in love. See, holiness is to have the characteristics of God. You can't know God unless you have faith. You can't be the children of God unless you love. John says that in 1 John. All the way through that book, it talks about that. And that if we learn, may be what? Able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So if God is this, we need to be that. We need to be the same thing. We need to be the same thing. Holiness reflects learning and living. Oh, there's a terrible thing that happens in high school anymore. They don't read books. And they answer the question by skimming through the book. And, oh, there's a sentence that sounds like that. There's a sentence that sounds like that. I'll write that down as the answer. And that's their knowledge. But when it comes to being tested, they're clueless. Folks, that's the problem with modern Christians today. We don't read the book. We find the answer for the problem that we got right now. And then once we get that, then we're good and we just put the book away. We live by the book. We need to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of God, Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled. There is no partial credit with God. You're either holy or you're not. You either know Him or you don't. There is no partial credit. So holiness reflects learning and living. And when you learn more about Him, you understand the level of His grace and the level of His mercy and the level of His sacrifice. You know, what He told the nation of Israel out in the wilderness is, I'm the one that got you out of Egypt. God is the one that took us from an eternity in hell and gives us hope. Amen. And we should understand that we should learn more of Him. Then we should live for Christ. Holiness reflects learning and living, living for Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And it says, and beside this, giving all diligence. Not just the minimum. Not just the minimum. All diligence. Add to your faith. Where did Ephesians 3:17 start? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But that's just the start. We're a new creature. Furnished unto good works, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's no fruit, you have not added to your faith. You may not have faith. You may be putting on a good show. But when Christ comes right down to it, when Christ comes back, will he find faith on earth? It says, you need to do all these things. These are the elements of holiness. If you are holy, you will be virtuous. If you are holy, you will exhibit knowledge instead of ignorance. If you are holy, you will have self-control. If you are holy, you will be long-suffering to people. If you are holy, you will have godliness and you will act Christ-like. If you are holy, you'll love your brother and want to do good for them. If you are holy, you'll have that love that passeth knowledge and understanding. And if you are holy, you'll be fruitful. If you are fruitful, you won't be barren. But, in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things. Oh, Christian, tonight, if you lack any of these things, don't leave here tonight still lacking. Confess to God this and have Him fill you with this and start a new journey down that road. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence for you to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I got a clue for you all tonight. If we live a holy life, we'll never fall before God except to worship him. We will not fail. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So holiness reflects learning and living. Well, lastly tonight, holiness reflects yielding to Christ. It's a choice. We see Christ here tonight. We hear his word. We make the choice. In Romans 6, verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And here's the choice. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And if you're yielding yourself to sin, you are not holy. You still have justification before God in heaven, but you're not living the life that you should live down here. So we make the choice and we reap the results. In Romans 6, verses 21 and 22, it says, what fruit? Remember, if we do add diligence to all, add to our faith all these things, we'll be never barren nor unfruitful. And it says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin this morning, whom the Son of God, Son of Man sets free, he is what? Free indeed. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. It is a choice. Tonight you fit into one of two categories. You're either holy or holy. You're either holy on the right track for God, and God is building you up to be useful to him, or your life is full of holes. And those holes are where Satan can come in and discourage us and defeat us and to cause us to turn our back on God. What are you tonight? Are you holy or are you holy? Only you know. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to start with knowing him as your Savior tonight. And for us, we need to live a holy life in all matter of conversation. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, help us to be holy for you and not full of holes. Lord, I just ask that you just give us peace in our heart, that you cleanse our hands and you purify our hearts. And Father, if someone here has an issue, that tonight they would realize that and they would put it at the foot of the cross and ask forgiveness and forsake it. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Help us. We are a needy people. Increase our faith as your disciples asked. And help us to be holy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.